Again, thinking of the many ways God loves us. How do we count the ways? Let's hear from the Psalm 103, 1 to 13. I want you to listen as I read. It's called A Thanksgiving for God's Goodness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you are present with us this morning. Thank you that you are bringing us new life, God, through Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together. And thank you for this Psalm of David. God, speak to us today through this text. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be gathered together this Sunday morning. You know, community is a cool thing. The Harvard sociologist Robert Putnam says a few things about community in his book, Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community. He says this, that actually as a society, we are growing disconnected from family, friends, neighbors, and institutions. And he really, what he is calling is a wake-up call that for as much as we're connected through social media and through the globalization of the world, ironically, we're lonelier than ever. And so I celebrate and do not take for granted this right now, that you have chosen to be here this morning because you care about worship to God and each other, and community, and church. And I think that this is a place where we see that we need to work together. We need to love one another. We need to share in each other's burdens. It's my prayer and hope that that just continues. And I give thanks to God for community, even as we recognize the loneliness of the world. May we also be community for others. Coming together and worshiping in community is a part of worship. It's a part of our worship to God. And we have a text this morning that is all about worship. What is worship when you hear that phrase? Turn to your neighbor and just say the first word that comes to you when you hear the word worship. Go ahead. Worship has a lot of different dimensions to it. Worship is singing psalms, singing songs together. Worship is playing games together. Worship is going for hikes. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is in our prayers and adoration. Worship happens as we engage the scriptures. Worship happens as we go on retreat next weekend. Worship is a word that we often just think about Sunday morning. But I really hope as we engage in this text in Psalm 103 that we see it as such more than just a Sunday morning act. Worship is our daily recognition of God's work in our lives and in this world. Maybe as you go outside, as fall is coming, or as you look into the springtime, not that far away, you'll be aware of the pin cherries, the Larsen orchids, the clematis and its beautiful flowers, or the eastern swallow tiger tail butterfly, or the marigold fireball. Maybe as you're walking in the woods, you will pay attention to the Norway spruce, the northern red oaks, the majestic maples, the cherry blossoms, or the common mulberry tree in Lancaster. That's worship. Appreciating the diversity of God's creation, the incredible act of creation. This morning, the psalmist starts by exclaiming, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." This whole psalm is a blessing to God. The number of verses in this psalm is 22. And interestingly, that's the same amount of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There's a number of psalms where that's the case. What does that say? Well, for the psalmist David, scholars believe that when the amount of verses match the exact letters in the Hebrew alphabet, that it shows the completeness or the whole of this psalm. It's testified by this completeness and the wholeness of this by the fact that it begins and ends with the same phrase of "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. What comes to your mind when you hear such a passionate shout of worship? Is it simply something that the emotions take over? Maybe it takes you back to a college worship event where there was a song leader and it was this intimate setting. I'm thinking of an experience in college as these intimate settings of worship, worshiping together. Or maybe it's an experience in a small group that you remember where this is impassioned worship experiences. But is it more than just emotions as well? Is somehow your body involved when you hear such an impassioned phrase of "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? Does it somehow transcend the mind to give forth something of gratitude of everything that you are, ever was, and ever will be? If someone asks you to pick up a pencil and draw on a paper a picture of worship and praise, what would that picture look like? Paul Amheir says it this way, "The very request to praise God invokes something deep within us, molecule and atom, that desires to express recognition for life, caused by a power greater than what we can evoke or manufacture." In Psalm 103, the writer contends that praise is something to be called forth from the people. It's an invitation to all who would listen to join with the writer in offering praise to the living God. I hope as we think about worship, it's more than just an emotion, but it's something that is all of who you are and who God created you to be, and then recognizing God in that. So it involves your senses, your taste, your touch, smell. That's part of what we want to do in our worship. And even as our worship committee meets and Lori leads us, and one of the things that we're thinking about is how are we invoking all of the senses in worship? So the next time we have communion, we might have some bread baking so you can smell the bread and how God created that. That's a part of worship. We've been saying we're going to do that a few times. We need to make that happen now. So in this text, I want to look at three different things of what worshiping God, three different angles to it, of worshiping God's holy name. The first thing is just this very phrase of to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord. What a fascinating phrase. Blessing is such a significant word in the Old Testament. Blessings is all about God speaking life. And blessings has been something that was passed down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. Blessing carried a sense of passing on life from generation to generation. And it started with God. It was all about God's blessing on the people, of God's people. So considering how significant that word blessing is, and it's God's blessing, this is very fascinating that now it's saying that I will bless the Lord. Who am I? Who is the psalmist David to bless God? Can we bless God? One of the things Walter Brueggemann, who is an Old Testament scholar, suggests is that by blessing God, we have to imagine the vulnerable Jesus on the cross. And that even our blessing to God can somehow encourage our Lord. We have a place to even bless God. As God's creation who has blessed us, now we see this opportunity to give it back to God, this blessing of life. But boy, does it take humility to bless the Lord. And yet that's what we see here in this text. Bless the Lord. Secondly, worshiping God's holy name in this text in Psalm 103 is all about self-talk. What do I mean by self-talk? It's reminding ourselves of God's mercies. If you look at the grammar in this Hebrew, and I'm not going to get into all the grammar of it, but the simplest way to say it is that this is the psalmist almost speaking to himself or herself. It's not so much speaking to others, but it's speaking to yourself and saying, I will remember, God, what you have done for me. I will bless your name, O God. It's that self-talk when you feel down. In other words, it's saying, I need to pep myself up right now because I'm feeling really down on myself. I need to remember what God has done for me. Maybe you can think of times when you needed a little self-talk. For me, some of the times when I need a little self-talk is when I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable. Maybe I shouldn't have said it quite like that. I wonder what they're thinking of me right now. Need a little self-talk, a little encouragement. You got this, Randy. You're good. Remember, God loves you. Maybe you can think of a time when you need a little self-talk, a little encouragement. I got this, Dave. You got this. Or maybe one of our children even is thinking about that sometimes. Maybe after a hard class. Or maybe you didn't do as good a test as you thought you did. Joshua, maybe after a hard run, you're thinking, I got this. I got this, Joshua. You can do it. That's the self-talk here in this psalm. The psalmist is speaking to himself. I need to remember what God has done for me. And so when you read the words of this psalm, 103, look at the beautiful reminders of who God is to them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm going to remember, God, that you have forgiven all my iniquities. You have healed my disease. You redeemed my life from the pit. You crown me, God, with steadfast love and mercy. I need to remember that right now. Because I'm feeling down, and I forget it all the time. God, you work vindication for me, and justice for the oppressed. God, you are merciful to me and gracious. You are slow to anger, and you abound in steadfast love. Remember that, Randy. Remember that. Self-talk. That's what the psalmist is doing here. Reminding themselves of God. And that is worship to God. Because when God hears that, it's this affirmation of God being God to this person and receiving God's love. Self-talk in the psalm. And finally, this psalm of praise to God is not just remembering what God has done for them in God's steadfast love, but even more a call to join with God and what God is doing. If you look at some of the things that we see of who God is in this beautiful text of worship, there's also this underlying invitation to join God in that work. We read about a God that heals diseases, redeems people from pits, crowns people with love and compassion, gives good things, renews one's youth like the eagles. This is a God of hope. This is a God of hope. And the invitation here as we worship this God and bless God's holy name, God is saying, now join me in that work. Join me in that work of enduring love for all people. Join me in that work of compassion. Join me in that work of forgiveness. The lectionary texts, all four of them this week, have a theme of forgiveness in them. God's everlasting and enduring love, and especially a God that forgives us, even when we don't deserve it. And part of the psalm of praise here is God asking his people to join God in that work of forgiveness and reconciliation. And so I love the, on your bulletin in the confessing section, I would invite you to spend a little time this week in those words of confession, of recognizing God's forgiveness towards all of us. As we praise God's holy name, God invites us to join him in his work. That is worship. We're going to have an opportunity to be able to give back to Mennonite Disaster Service, and I would also encourage us to think about that as worship as well. That is also worship. When we read about this God of hope, bringing hope, God is inviting us to join him in that work. As a way to bring a conclusion to this sermon, What I would like to do is simply read the text again. Read the text again, and then we're going to have a song of response that really says the same thing again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so as I read the text again, put yourself in the story. Whether you need to have some self-talk right now of remembering what God has done for you, or maybe what is going to stand out to you is this incredible humble posture of actually being able to bless God. Who are we to bless God? And yet that's what we hear in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Or maybe what the Spirit is working for you is how you might join God in this worship of forgiveness or love towards another person. Or maybe the response with Mennonite Disaster Service is what that God is really working in your heart. Whichever one of those things it is, or all of them, receive that as I read this text again, or give it back to God. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, Whitmer Heights, so far He removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. And jumping to verse 22, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Amen.